Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these airways and skyways on this night or evening or afternoon or whatever you want to call it. I just thank God for allowing me this podium and this stage to come across and bring unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. Hallelujah. And I just thank you so kindly for allowing me into your workspace. Thank you for allowing me into your living room area. Then I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway. Hallelujah. And byway. Hallelujah. With the old ship of Zion. I thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old ship of Zion on your radio dial. So I just thank you, you and you, and may God richly bless you. And I know he will and he can. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank all of you that was able to join in, and hopefully those that don't know yet will get sound card as I am live right now. So you are, encouraged to tune in because God has a word for you, you and you. And I just want you to be blessed. I thank God for you. I just thank you for continually to make the old ship of Zion a part of your listening program. And I just, I just know, like I said, that God is going to bless you because He tell us, hallelujah, that he blesses a cheerful giver. So may it be your time, as always, for a state, or may it be your talent. Whatever you render unto God, hallelujah, God is going to bless you because God is a God of his word. And if he said, he's going to definitely make it come to fruition. So I just thank you once again for just tuning in on tonight, maybe morning elsewhere over the world, but in my neck of the woods, it is night. Matter of fact, it's midnight, a little after midnight. So I just want you to bring all your digital devices, may it be your laptop, may it be your tablet, may it be your smartphone or your iPhone. Bring all your digital devices because we are in need of them. We know we're living in a high-tech society, and so, we have those at our workplace. We carry sometimes we have to carry our laptop in our travel, in our everyday itinerary, in our workplace and at home, in our office, in our recreational. So we know that we need them, and it's a part of our identity. We cannot seem to go on without them because once they are misplaced, we go into a panic mode, because we want to know, where is my phone? Where is my tablet? Where is my laptop? So we know that they are very important commodities in our daily lives and in our daily living as well. So we're going to now go and I want to right now send out condolences to all of you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours or last 48 hours, hallelujah, last 24 hours, 8 hours ago, 30 minutes ago, seconds ago. And we want to let you know that you are not alone in your hour of despair. You have other pilgrim sojourners, joiners of God, that are praying for you and with you in your hour of great loss. So we want you to know that you might be bodily alone, but spiritually you are not alone, because you have other allies, other kingdom family around the world that are praying constantly, 24/7, praying for those that God placed before, hallelujah, their prayer petition. And so just know that we are with you, we're standing with you, praying for you, that God will restore your joy and restore restoration unto your heart and soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, like I've already stated, I just thank you for tuning in this morning. Hallelujah. May God bless you. And so, when we approach this podium, this stage, we dare to omit God, because in everything we want to include God. God, tell us in all that you do and say to include God, because God will direct yours, minds, and our path. So I just want you to go with me as we go down in prayer, and I'm going to present to some and introduce to others. He is our Heavenly Father. He is our deity. He's without sin. His name is Jesus Christ. He's a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem. And God told us when he went away, he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. When I return, I will receive you unto myself. So we know that God has a place prepared for you and I and us, his children, those that are living according to his will, according to his way, and according to his command. And when God cracked those clouds one historical day, God will come back for his bridegroom, and that is the church. Hallelujah. Those that are living holy, those that are waiting on him. And we, God said, we must always stay ready, because God said he may come as a thief in the night. So we want to always be ready at all time and have our breastplate of righteousness on, our garment of praise. Hallelujah. So, God, we want to thank you. We want to come right now, hallelujah, with grateful hearts of your sovereignty, God, and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather in unity once again, God, around this spectrum. For we know that this ground, this soil that we're treading on, God, is not our eternal destination. But we know, God, hallelujah, until you crack those clouds one historical day, we will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'm just asking you, God, on this morning to anoint these lips of clay, God. Able me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise, we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory, honor, and that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. Let the kingdom of God people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I have the chat room open for your sitting. Hallelujah. Capacity and for your listening pleasure. And I welcome all of you, my kingdom family, my friends, my guests, my kinship family, friends and colleagues, and all of you that make the old ship of Zion what it is on today. Thank you And may God richly bless you abundantly beyond and above what you would ask or think. God bless you. All right. Now, without any further ado, I want to take you into a program that's already in progression. I want to give out the prayer line, and you can call in at your at the designated time. I will prompt you, and you can call in at that time for your prayer petition, your prayer request, what you want God to do in your life, your family life, maybe a friend, someone close to your heart, maybe a business colleague, or maybe your physician, maybe your nurse, anyone that you desire prayer. You are prompt and you are just welcome to call in. Don't be shy, but call in. And the Bible says, and make your request known. And we will pray with you and for you that God will honor your prayer petition. And so those numbers where you can call in is 646-230-74. Those numbers again are 646-230-74. All right. Our sermon on this morning entitles, Who's Guilty? I want to say that one more time. Who is guilty? And we're going to read from our first key scripture. Hallelujah, and it reads like this. It says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 7 and 5. All right, we want to go to our second key scripture, and it reads like this. It says, there is none who does good. No, not one. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Psalms 14 and 3. All right, we're going to give our third key scripture, and it reads this. Certainly, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Psalm 66 and 19. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so we are talking about judging others. We are talking about being hypocritical. We are talking about who's guilty. We are talking about sin. We're talking about a plank in one's own eye, and we're talking about pointing fingers. And so we know that the Bible tells us that there is none who does good, no, not one. That scripture reading, once again, is coming out of the law of Psalms 14 and 3. So that means that we are all guilty of sin. And the Bible says there is not one that does good. And that includes all of us. All mean, A-L-L mean all, is including me, myself. We all have sinned, the Bible says, and have fallen short of the glory and honor of God. And I just would like to share a story. There was an employee that was in the bill collection department, and of course, we know that the human nature is to point fingers, since we are talking about who's guilty. We're talking about judging others. So we're told that that was a customer who was delinquent in paying their bill. And so the complainant said that, said, I know that there must be others who owe a lot more than I do. Get off my back, will you? Was the comment from the bill debtor. So the person in the collection department told them, says, that they had missed the point entirely. Says, sure, there are a lot of others who owe more. Said, but somehow, I have to tell you in a nice way that what somebody else owes isn't the issue. Said that our record says that your account is overdue. And see, we do that because we're human, and that is our human nature for us to act out and to display those sentiments. And the tendency of sinful man has always been to shift attention from himself by pointing the finger at others. We find out that religious people excuse their inconsistencies by referring to the pagan around them. And the pagans try to sidestep the issue by talking about the hypocrites of the religious. But we find out that God is not fooled by finger pointers. When someone else points to someone else appears to be a greater sinner than you and I are, it's just an illusion, because we find out that there is none who does good, no, not one. So we know that all of us have sinned, and we continue to sin, even if we don't do anything. If we think negative of someone, ill-mannered of someone, that's a sin already. But we can go to God and say, God, forgive me of that thought, because I know that was not like you, and forgive me. And God, he forgives us, and he put that in the seal of forgiveness. At that moment, at that time, right then, on the spot. God does not hold that over our head. He forgives us when we acknowledge that, God, I've done wrong. That was a wrong thought. Forgive me. I'm sorry. It's a done deal. But so God is not fooled by pointing fingers and finger pointing. He's not fooled by that. Because it's no big sin and little sin. Sin is just sin. And the sooner you and I and us, we realize, hallelujah, that no one owes more to God than you and I does, the more likely we are to receive his true forgiveness. We know that God, he extends his pardon only to those who humbly acknowledge that they are hopeless and in debt to God. Hallelujah. So we know that one sin rationalized becomes two, because we know that we have sinned and we continue to sin. But when we ask God for forgiveness, then it's no longer a sin. God has rectified that, and God has forgiven you and I. And so we know that in the writer of Psalm 66 cries out to God, said, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. And when you and I and us, when we pray, the Lord hears us. He hears our words, and he knows our heart. And truly we can say with the psalmist that, blessed be the God who has not turned away my prayers, nor his mercy from me. We know that our prayers become the avenue to a deeper relationship with God at all times, even in our hour of despair and our deepest need. God, he attends to our words. Hallelujah, Jesus. All we have to do is just acknowledge that we have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory and honor of God. We know that it is easy to form opinions of others based on first impressions. We find out even when Samuel was to select the next king of Israel from the son of Jesse, he too made a judgment based on first impressions. Hallelujah. But however, we know that God chosen was not any of the older sons. The Spirit told Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. That scripture reading is coming out of the law in 1 Samuel 16 and 7. But God chose David, the youngest, who looked least like a king. So we know that God can help you and I and us to view people through his eyes. For the Lord does not see as man sees. So God does not see as you and I. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. So the Lord looks at the heart. See, if we could view through the eyes of faith the people we meet each day, we quickly see God's gracious hand in all who comes our way. So we know that our first impressions can often lead to a wrong conclusion. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We're talking about who's guilty. So we know that we all fall in that category of being guilty. We all have sinned. We all have fell short of the glory and honor of God. Hallelujah. We know that, hallelujah, we know that we can point fingers and being hypocritical of others, hallelujah, and point fingers at people that, you know, we feel like that has sinned or has done something that we was displeased about. But like I said, we can pray for those not saying, you know, that you can't approach a person when you find that, you know, they might be incorrect on something. But it's a way to come to them. You know, you're supposed to come to them in the way that God would come to them, you know, in the Jesus manner-ism. That is the way that we are to approach anyone. So we find out, hallelujah, we find out that in the law, a gospel of John, where Jesus wrote in the sand, he says, hallelujah, he says that whatever it was that Jesus wrote in the sand that day turned away those who had confronted him, intending to trap him. So often our hypocrisy is fueled by our egos. We refuse to hear alternative approaches. So it is in the New Testament story that the scribes and the Pharisees who brought the woman caught in adultery believed they had the perfect test case. Jesus would have to decide against the law or against his own teaching of mercy and forgiveness. It would be a catch-22 situation. We know that in working out his answer to them, Jesus stooped down, hallelujah, and with his finger wrote on the ground in response to their persistence. He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. In the law of John 8 and 6 through 8, the words he spoke in that moment, hallelujah, have reverberated through the centuries. And Jesus answered, challenged you and I and us, that hypocrites, and warned those who would pass judgment on this woman. He said, we must not only hear the words, he that is without sin, but read the writing that inform you and add us of brokenness. Jesus answered, challenged the hypocrites and warned those, hallelujah, who would pass judgment on this woman. I'm repeating this, that we must not only hear the words, but that he is without sin. So we know that there is not a one human being on planet Earth that is without sin, even those that have given their lives to Christ is yet with sin. And the Bible says that we sin all day. We're like sheep going to slaughter. Well, that may not be sin all day, but that may not be sin all day. I'll take that back. I retrieve that. But it might be we're killed all day. That's what that is. We're killed all day, and we're like sheep going astray. That's what that is. But anyway, like I said, Jesus does not condone the woman's conduct. But in his directive, he said, go and tell the woman to sin no more. Jesus does whatever, however, rejects the judgmental behavior as a spiritual response. Instead of focusing on the fault of others, you and I and us must focus on the forgiveness and the forgiving grace of the Savior and his ability to repair the brokenness in each of our lives. So we are to pray for one another. And if you find your brother and sister, you know, that has sinned, then God give us a way in which to approach that individual in a godly and brotherly and sisterly manner. You know, because we don't have no hell or heaven to put anyone in. Our job is to preach God's gospel. God will do the convicting and the pricking of the heart. God tell us to preach our gospel. He didn't say to be judgmental, but we can tell each other what the word of God says in that retrospect. You can tell them what thus says the Lord without being judgmental, but all in the same token, giving them the direct word of God. Hallelujah. As God has implemented in his word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So like I said, you know, we are to just do it in a godly manner, in the spirit of brotherly and sisterly love. Hallelujah. That's what God would want you and I to, the manner in which to go about doing anything. He says to do things decent and in order. So long as we do it decently and in order, then we are following the guidelines of God. Hallelujah. And we know that in the early church was an impressive body. It was a growing and striving group of people deeply committed to each other and to the meeting, the meeting of each other's needs. All who had land or other possessions sold them and brought their proceeds and laid it at the apostles' feet. We know that the money was distributed to those in need, and the scripture also says that the believer had all things common. That scripture can be found in the law of Acts 4 and 32. Then we come to Acts 5, and then we hit a sour note. Satan entered the hearts of Ananias and Sapphira. He put pride in their hearts and caused them to lie about the sale of their property. We know that dishonesty and deceit had crept into the Christian community. And even in our today's world in which we live, we have that dishonesty right now, causing us to pretend to be something other than what we really are. Turns us to be hypocrites. The word hypocrites comes from the Greek, hypocrites, referring to a person in Greek. Hallelujah. Literature who played a part on the stage. One actor became known as a hypocrite, and that is one who hides behind the mask. Many Christians often play the same game. Our motives are not as pure as our actions might seem or indicate. Yet we have a set of responsibilities for which we are held accountable. We are to take serious our personal integrity. We are to be accountable in the end to God, because when we sin directly against God. At the same time, you and us, we are accountable to the body of Christ. For no one lives to oneself. Hallelujah. Or sins to oneself. Our sins are always affecting others and affected by someone else. When Ananias and Sapphira had lied to the Holy Spirit, they committed a sin that led to their death. This kind of sin could not be allowed to exist in the early church. We find out that the dishonesty of Ananias and Sapphira has the resulting discipline of God is a lesson for the church today. God is still in the business of judging sin, and not you and I and us. When believers recognize the seriousness of their sins and refuse to allow it to continue, the Church of Jesus Christ will grow incredibly powerful in its witness. It will see scores of unbelievers added to its numbers regularly. So before you point a finger of being hypocritical of someone else, the Bible says remove that plank from your own eye. Then you can see clearly the sins of others. That plank or that spot or speck that's in your friend's eye, your fellow Christian's eye, those that are new in Christ, those that don't know Christ. Because, you know, a lot of us weren't able to come up in church. A lot of us got in church as we became adults. But for those that, you know, didn't get the opportunity to grow up in church, well, you know, they found out on their own, or maybe someone invited them with a Bible study or invited them to come to church or come to a guest church, or however they might have been witnessed to, but however they come into the knowledge of God, it doesn't make any difference. It's just a blessing that they was introduced to God in some way, somehow. And so, you know, there might be a brother or sister at church that, you know, might not have the means to, you know, have on a new suit or new shoes. Maybe their shoes, they need to have their shoes replaced, or might need, another suit. But instead of talking about them, you know, you can be the one that say, you know, God put this on my heart to be a blessing to you. You know, I went into my closet, found out I had some suits in there that I was no longer wearing, I no longer needed, and to give them to, you know, the Goodwill or other agencies to put on their rack to sell, I decided that I wanted to be a blessing to you. So God prompted me to go in my closet and get out these garments, and I'm going to give them to you. You know, you can be a blessing instead of, you know, us talking and laughing at that person. We can be a blessing. Give that person a coat if they need a coat. If they need a suit, a woman need a dress, a skirt, a blouse. You can be that one to be a blessing to that individual. We don't have to talk about down on them, their dress attire, because they may not be financial inclined to go out and buy a new dress, a new suit, a new blouse, you know, so we can be a blessing to that person, you know. And the hair might not be groomed, or maybe they might need, you know, some grooming tips. But, you know, it's always a way to do in and everything. You just don't come across harshly, but you come across in the manner in which Jesus would come across. You know, what would Jesus have done? I know you've seen those words, you know, on bracelets and different things, you know, in the bookstore. What would Jesus do? So we got to think like Jesus would think and not as Seth would think. think sometimes we do, you know, but we're not to do that, you know. And when we find that we've done that, we can go to God and say, you know, God, I'm sorry, you know, that I talked to that person, you know, in that mannerism. And you can go back and apologize. And they're not saying, you know, that you're bowing down. But, you know, we have to be humble. We have to be where we can ask for forgiveness and be eagerly ready to forgive, you know, forgive and to accept of my apology. You know, I want you to forgive me of something that I've done or something that I've said, you know. Be willing. Don't never be too big and with your chest out, you know, stuck all out like, you know, you're too big to apologize. You know, my thing, my catch 22 is I'm small enough to say, forgive me. And I'm big enough to say I'm sorry. So I'm small enough to say, forgive me. And I'm big enough to say I'm sorry. So if we are to say we are living in the image of God, then we have to act that way, act accordingly. Our demeanor should show those signs that we are living in the trueness of God. You see? So we're talking about who's guilty. And the Bible tells us that we had our key scripture, and it was saying that first remove the plank from your own eye. See, when you remove the plank from your eye, then you can see the fault of others clearly. You know, that used to be an old song, I think it says, that I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. So once we remove that plank in our eye, then we can see the speck in our fellow brother or sister's eye. But we got this big plank in our eye. We can't even see this big stick we got in our eye, but we can see a speck in our brother's or sister's eye. A lot of people say, you know, you can't judge people. Well, you can't judge people, but you can tell the person about what God says. And that's not being judgmental. See, it's a difference of being judgmental and delivering a word from God. You are to implement God's word as God has it laid out. From Genesis to Revelation, the 66 books. God tell us, don't take away from my word and do not add to it. So long as you are saying what God's saying, you are mimicking God. If God say, if you don't live right, you go in hell, you're not being judgmental. You are saying what God has said in his word already. And it's right there in black and white. See, so you have to distinct between the two, being judgmental and delivering the word of God as God has outlined it for you and I and us. To be effective in delivering the word of God. A lot of people get it twisted. They say, you know, where a person tells you, you know, you need to quit fornicating and committing adultery. You know, you're laying down with somebody else's wife, somebody else's husband. That's not being judgmental. That is telling you about yourself as far as being in line with God. God told the woman about her husband. She said, God told her all those husbands she had. I think she had five husbands. He told her about her sins right then and right there. And this woman was so enthralled over God telling her who she was that she said, you know, I want you to go see a man that told me everything that I did. See, so it's a distinct between being judgmental and delivering the word of God. Because the Bible tells us, rightly dividing the word of truth. Wholeness without, which no man, woman, chick, boy, child, is going to see God. And I'm talking about not a baby. I'm not talking about a child as far as a minor, a 6-year-old, 5-year-old, 4-year-old, but I'm talking about a person that's over 12. I said like that, and then you'll get where I'm going. So the Bible says that rightly divide the word of truth. Wholeness without, no man or woman shall see God. But that's what God said. That is nothing that someone made up, but that's what God's word says. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so, like I said, that we are just to come across in a godly manner, not being hypocritical of anyone. And that was a woman, hallelujah, that, well, that was a woman and a man. And the man has accused his estranged wife of being married to two men. And the story said that when the woman, hallelujah, when the woman was arrested, said she didn't deny the charges of bigamy and not only admitted her guilt, but she also told the authorities that she must have been crazy to get married twice without having gone through a divorce or widowhood. She said that, surprisingly, so she said her husband would turn her in because he too was guilty. Now he gonna turn her in, but he was doing the same identical thing. Said he had done the same crime. So the counter charges were exploited. The husband, he admitted that he too was illegally married to two women. So we know that this is an example of what Jesus described in the law of Matthew 7:1-5. While having a plank in his own eye, the husband had a plank in his own eye, but yet he turned in his estranged wife. He turned her in. Ain't that something? Said that she had been married to two men, and he had been married to two women. So who's zooming who and who's fooling who? See? So we know that in the law of Matthew 7:1-5, while you're having a plank in your own eye, this man had a plank in his own eye. But he pointed critically to a speck that was in his wife's eye. We know that they both have broken the law by being married to two people at the same time. But Ahab was the greater because he was arrogant to think that he could get away with his judging another person for the same sin that he was committing. But we know that the message is clear. Christ shows you and I and us mercy when we admit our sins. But he judges our hypocrites and our pride when we refuse to be humble in his presence. So the Bible tells us, so let's deal with our own sin, not become experts in pointing out the sins of others. Hallelujah. Don't be too harsh with the ones who sin. Now pelt him with words of stone. Unless you are sure, yes, double sure, that you have no sins of your own. And we know that most of us are far-sighted about sin. We see the sins of others, but not our own. Hallelujah. In ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. The God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been produced by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondents, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Girard, California 95020. You can also log on to our web address, www.janicewardministries.org. We are encouraging you to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. We're going to now turn you over to the second phase of our program, and that is the Hymns of Zion. That is to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. The lines of prayer are now open. You are encouraged to call in and speak live with the host and moderator, Overseer Janice Ward. And I will go down in prayer. We will touch and agree. And we will just go to the, altar of God, and we will just pray and ask God, you know, in honor of your prayer petition. And we know that God will bring it to fruition. So our prayer line is now open. Those of you that desire prayer, you can call in. And so we're going to now, like I said, change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now turn you over to Hymns of Zion. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you be blessed. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion.
Don't praise him right now. My friend, Pastor Marvin Winans was here right now. You know what he would say?
Ain't no need to worry. Whoopin' night is gonna bring. It'll be all over in the morning. In the morning, wipe the tears from your eyes. It's gonna be all over in the morning.
Do y'all believe that?
Listening to me right now is going through something so deep, so painful that you've cried and cried and cried. But I've got a word for you today. Child of God, you've got to know that your life is in the hands of a sovereign God, a God who can do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. But the good news is that when you come out of what he allows you to go through, you're coming out better than you went in. The real issue as you pursue the glory of God is, can you trust him when you cannot trace him? Child of God, there comes a time in your life you've got to declare a moratorium on your tears and declare, I've cried my last tear. Somebody looking at me right now is saying, Bishop Walker, with all you've gone through, you've lost your wife, you lost your house, what do you have to say? I'm telling you today, God is up to something. Hold your head up and remember, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning.
David said, one thing that I desire, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. We are in pursuit of his glory.
Faith unlocks the door. on, somebody, if you really believe, come on, stand to your feet. And begin to tell God what you're believing him for. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm delivered. Whatever God told me, Elder, that's who I am.
In the beginning, during the birth of Jesus Christ, where Mary, that virgin girl, talking to that angel, found everything that that angel said to be impossible. So that angel said to her, listen, you must understand who you're dealing with. You're not dealing with some human. You're dealing with God. And with God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the facts say, that angel said, all things are possible. The devil tries his best to make you look at life through the eyes and the lens of facts. He makes you look at your situation and tries to make you declare based upon your situation what you can and cannot do, where you can and cannot go. But I declare, if you would just make the bold declaration that I do believe, no matter what I see, I still believe in God. Because faith, beloved, is not based upon what you see. It's based upon what God says. It's possible for your finances to be healed. It's possible for your body to be healed. It's possible for God to open a door and then hold it open until you walk through it. I want you to declare to every fact in your life that no matter what it looks like, I do believe that all things are possible. glory of the Lord is not on this way.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Got to have your glory.
Show us your glory.
you for filling this place. Thank you for filling this place. Thank you for filling this place. Just worship him. Just worship him. Just worship him.